Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, Laura, Rosenberg, friend of the show, back again. The follow-up convo from a few weeks ago. Stephen A. Smith, what's going on, man?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. You're looking healthy, you're glowing. You're looking rested.
You got on your Yankees hat. You know, in the midst of them five-game losing streak. I mean, they starting to piss me off, you know? I mean, they got to get it together.
Listen. They're not the Mets yet. They haven't fallen completely apart. The wheels haven't come in completely off yet.
They'll never be the Mets. Let's be very, very clear about that. The Mets will never be the Yankees.
They're both a disaster at the exact same time, but no, that will never be the case. But, Steve, I got to give you credit. You told us last time you were here, you said as soon as the situation at ESPN becomes official, you would come back on, and I looked at my calendar, and a couple days later it said, boom, Stephen A. is back on the calendar.
Yeah. There we go. I'm here.
The internet says that you wanted Max Kellerman off the program. I saw him say goodbye the other day. You called in. You had a sleep apnea surgery, which I want to get into a little bit to learn a little bit about you a little bit more. But it didn't seem like you and Max had a bad relationship at all. So where do those rumors come from? And what's the truth with the departure of Max Kellerman from First Take?
Well, the rumor's accurate in terms of me wanting him off the show. Let's get that out the way. Yes, I did. We don't have a bad relationship. I think he's a real good guy. I appreciate what he did for the show. We were number one for 5 years. We stayed number one, and I appreciate that. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the work that goes into doing the show every single day. And the reality is that we have 15 segments a day. 75 segments a week, over 3,000 takes a year. In the 9 years that I've been on First Take, I've given over 33,000 takes. And what a lot of people don't realize is that not just the work that goes into that, but also the fact that it's a chemistry that you have, and sometimes it just stalls. And the audience lets you know that it is what it is, and you feel the need for something fresh. You feel the need to retool. And the reason why I'm unapologetic about my position is that, number one, it's no knock against him personally, his professionalism, his work ethic, and all of that other stuff, his talent. It's not like I wanted the guy to be fired or anything like that. I knew that there were landing spots for him available at this network that would generate just as much, if not more, revenue for him and all of that other stuff. And it wasn't really about asking him to be off the show. It was about the fact that I knew that we together, as far as I was concerned, was not a great partnership anymore. And that was something that needed to change. And we cover the world of sports. And this is where I stand on an island all by myself and saying this, but I'm absolutely flabbergasted that people will react the way that they do in terms of stuff like this, because we covered the world of sports. Yes, Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Pete, Ebro, they're an aberration because they're returning all 22 starters and their entire coaching staff and all of that stuff.
Right.
John Madden did that as well. But when you're trying to win and win for a long period of time, you don't stand still. You know, championship squads change all the time. And so for me, I remember in 2012 where First Take was on the verge of cancellation, and Skip Bayless asked me to come on board. And I come on board, and a month later, we go number one. That 9 years ago. And we were number one for 4 years. And then Max comes on board, and we number one for 5 years. Well, that means I've been number one for 9 years. It means I got a pretty good idea about what I'm doing when it comes to this show and what's necessary in order for it to work. And so for me, you know, when I first spoke to Max about stuff years ago, I said, Joe, man, we doing this more than 3 years together. It's a problem. you know, because I'm always looking to expand, to move on, to diversify my portfolio and to make things happen. And you'll be hard pressed for me to say to you after 3 years, we should be together for longer than that. Let's ride this wave. Let's be number one and we'll go from there. Well, we weren't number one for 3 years. We extended it to five.
What I hear you saying is that you are you believe change is how you keep things fresh.
Yep.
You believe you're basically saying that no one is permanent on First Take. Whatever it takes to keep it fresh,
yes,
is what's going to happen.
Yes.
This is not, this has nothing to do with Max. This has everything to do with how you see keeping things fresh and entertaining.
Absolutely. And then not only that, it also wasn't my decision. You know, I gave my recommendation. They ask it, I tell it. Every single year when the season, you know, when the NBA season comes to an end, the boss is asking me where I stand. And for the last 3 years, I said, this is where I stood. And not only
so you've been consistent with the position that we need to evolve, yep, the program. We need a new energy for the last 3 years. But they're going to take your recommendation, right?
Let me say this to you. Not just that. I also told Max that.
Right. How did Max react to that?
He disagreed with me. And he disagreed with me 3 years ago. He disagreed 2 years ago. He disagreed this time. We've always understood where we stand with each other. And he also knew that it was nothing personal and it was nothing against him as a talent. I got a lot of respect for Max and I genuinely like Max as a person, but I just didn't feel that, you know, moving forward, he and I together was the right call. And I said that to the bosses. They disagreed with me a few times in the past. Evidently this time they understood and they made the move.
No one will ever accuse you of holding back, Stephen A. So let's keep it real. Let's keep this moving. Sure. How did you do on Jimmy Kimmel?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Montana, DeVito, Lola Brooke, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Kyle Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Mr. C, Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire! Fire!
Well, they say I did great. Let's go with that.
I want to know, did they ask you back? Yes. That's the tell.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Did damn good then.
But I want to know how Stephen A. felt about it.
The honchos at Jimmy Kimmel, along with the honchos at Disney, were incredibly happy with what I did. And they said that they want me to do it more because they know I want my own late night show. They know I'm unapologetic about that, whether it's network television or an outlet like Hulu. They know they know exactly where I stand and how I feel and what my aspirations are. But that was my first time ever doing it. And so when people say you need more reps, you need more practice, let's see what you can do if you're doing this continuously. You know, having a big night one night is a real big plus. But let's see if you can do that again. That's where their mentality is. We'll see what happens. There are no guarantees. Nobody's made any promises to me or anything like that. But they know where my heart lies. And they know that I don't stand still, that I'm constantly looking to evolve and get better and upgrade my quality of life as it pertains, not just to money or anything like that, but the actual job you go in to do every day. It's incredibly important to me at this particular moment in time of my life to just have a good time, man. There's so much stuff that's going on in the world, and there's so many things that can bring you down. But when you are in front of that camera, you know, you got to bring something to the table. And with me, It's not just my knowledge. It's my passion for what I do. And when I'm not passionate, that's also evident. And when it's not there, people are going to notice, they're going to talk about it. And it's something that could ultimately damage you in terms of your future aspirations. And I'm never going to let that happen with me if I can help it. And so for me, the thought of doing late night is something that I enjoy thoroughly. I'm after it. I'm unapologetic about it. I'm going for it. And hopefully they'll have me back to do more of those things. And hopefully someday in the near future, I'll be hosting a late night show, whether it be for Hulu, FX, or something else, or network television. But make no mistake about it, I'm going for it. And I'm not talking about going for it at the expense of First Take. I ain't leaving First Take. I got 4 years to go on First Take. And I'm going to fulfill my commitment to First Take, whether I get a late night show or not. But I'm going for a late night show. It's what the hell I want to do. And
well, you're going to have to start sleeping better. Let me just tell you right now, as your friend, you know what I'm saying? You want to do all these jobs and everything, Stephen. That's cute. But you're going to have to start sleeping better.
Well, I will tell you this. There's nowhere to go but up, because I've been suffering from sleep apnea all my adult life. Mm-hmm. And you know, what that means is that, for those that don't know, it's basically your tongue is collapsing in the back of your throat once it gets relaxed and you're resting, and it blocks your passages, your breathing passages. But what can make it worse and even significantly more dangerous is when you don't have oxygen and air going through those nostrils. And mm-hmm. So when I spoke to y'all right around that week or so, they discovered when I went to the doctor that I had like 90% blockage in my nostril. Mm. And so as a result of that, they decided that they needed to operate on me. And so that was why I told y'all, you know, I would come back on. I couldn't come back when the whole Max news came down and all of that stuff. And people were like, where's Stephen A? Where's Stephen A? Well, I was at St. Francis Hospital in Long Island getting my damn nostrils operated on. You know, I was hospitalized for a day and a half. I had two big splinters from the tip of my nose all the way up between my eyes, placed on both sides of my nostrils and all of that other stuff. And it was essentially surgery to open, to address the septum and to open up my breathing passages and what have you, so I can breathe through my nostrils while I'm getting some sleep and stuff like that. So for the most part, it works, because for at least the last 25, 30 years, I can count the days on one hand that I did not wake up with a migraine. So I would wake up every day, I'd have migraines, and I would have to work my way through it. And so for me, you know, the toughest part I've passed. In other words, it can't get much worse than it has been. Right. The last 25, 30 years. I'm hoping the surgery works. They say that it takes about 6 weeks to really kick in and all of that other stuff. And we'll see what happens, because the surgery was just three weeks ago or so. And I'm working through it, and I expect to be better than ever.
Well, look, I know one thing. You're going to be a little more nicer. We're going to get a nicer Stephen A. Smith.
See, arrested Stephen A. Yeah.
Arrested, less emotional. You know, nicer Stephen A. Smith. I don't know if the world's prepared for this.
I think you're wrong. I actually happen to believe I'm a very nice guy. Really, I've always believed I'm a very nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
You know, John Thompson, the late great John Thompson, former coach at Georgetown. I think that he encapsulated me and what I'm about a long time ago. He said he was hosting his radio show in D.C. with Doc Walker and those guys, and he finished the interview. He said, this is what I love about Stephen A. You want to know how he feels? Just ask him. It's really that simple. And so for me, people talk about hot takes, or people talk about, well, Stephen said this, and they attach a headline for clickbait material and all of this other stuff. When people ask me a question, I answer them. I give them an honest answer, period. Now, I'm not going to debate people for free. People try to come up to me on the streets, in the supermarket, whatever the case may be. I'll be like, stop right there. I get paid to debate. I ain't doing that for free. You cancel that. But you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. And that's me. And that's always been me. And it ain't going to change.
Well, now, Stephen A., you worked in Philly for a long time.
Yep.
How does Ben Simmons
mm-hmm.
fix his lips to say after his performance and his time in Philly that he is not, and I know where this is a few days, but I know you've been out for a little while. I wanted to just hear, how does Ben Simmons even fix his lips to act like he's got a problem with the Sixers when he has been the problem?
I have no damn idea whatsoever. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. It was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard him say. It's not his job to elevate his trade value. It's their job, blah, blah, blah. He wants out, and he's playing the role of victim. He's acting like the city of Philadelphia and the Sixers organization did something to him. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And it's sad because I'm going to tell you why. I'm one of those guys who's been on the record on many occasions. I believe that Ben Simmons is a jump shot away from being LeBron James 2.0. He's that gifted. The brother is 6'10". He's got nasty ball handling skills, passing skills, high basketball IQ, incredibly athletic, can finish at the basket, and he is an elite defender. He was my vote for defensive player of the year. The brother is special. He's got two problems. A, he can't shoot, whether it's from the perimeter or from the free throw line. And B, he doesn't seem to care enough to fix it. Those are the two issues that he has. And the latter is more important than the former. Put this in its proper perspective. Do y'all understand that if Ben Simmons, as awful as he is of a perimeter shooter, if Ben Simmons shot 75 to 80% from the free throw line, do y'all understand he's good for 23 to 25 a night? Think about that.
Damn.
Without a jump shot at all. He's good for 23 to 25 points a night just based on if he could shoot free throws at a 75 to 80% clip. He's that gifted. And so for me, you know, he wanna live a certain life. He wanna be about certain things or whatever, but the ultimate indictment against him is the fact that he seems to not want to work on the weaknesses in his game. And more importantly, he blaming everybody but himself.
A city like Philly that has thrashed players in all sports, thrashed players that are on the team. They stood by. I watched the city stand by and make excuses. The organization, announcers like yourself, fans, everyone make excuses and basically gloss over his inability to put the ball, the basics of basketball, which is putting the ball in the basket.
I don't think they glossed over. I think they chose to support him in spite of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brooke, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step to me.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
And then we shit on
all the other gifts. We recognize all the other gifts that he had. But you got to remember, this is different. See, this is the first time they've called him out the way that they have, because what we saw, and I was at that game in Atlanta when they lost that game. I was there. And this brother literally was scared to shoot. And the one thing about Philadelphia, as a guy that worked in the city for 17 years as a reporter and then a columnist, NBA columnist, and then I became a general sports columnist, I know Philly. And the one thing you can't do is have fear. They can't look at you and see you scared. You got to remember something. AI, the Hall of Famer, that is the answer. That is Allen Iverson. Of all the skills, of all the traits that he had, what's the number one trait he had? Heart. He was a warrior. He ain't scared of anything. He was willing to go in the land of giants and try to slay you. And that's why Philadelphia was in love with him. Even when they criticized him, even when they lamented some of his habits that got in the way and served as an impediment to his ultimate progress, in the end, he was deified because he had the heart of a lion and he personified everything that Philly wants to be. Ben Simmons has done the opposite because you've shown you were scared to shoot the basketball. And whatever he's going through before, whatever you pointed to, Ebro, it ain't nothing compared to what's waiting for him now. Cause they
and if they make him stick around and he just has to stay in Philly, it's going to be an ugly situation. Now, Steven, what would be on my mind today, if I was on First Take, and by the way, I should come on First Take sometime, Steven. I hear you're rotating guests. I work at ESPN.
You could come get some.
Steven, wear his ass out. Yo, that's Steven, right. When he come up there, wear his ass out. I need that audio.
Now, Steven, here's what I'd be hot on today.
Yeah, man.
How did the United States play a meaningful qualifying soccer game last night that they actually came back and won? They started out terrible. We're going to lose to Honduras. They come back and win 4-1, major step to maybe making the World Cup. And the only place you could watch it was without commentary on Paramount Plus. How on earth can we ever not be a disgrace in this sport, Stephen A., if you can't watch this team even in qualifying? Didn't even know they had a game last night.
Not know. The first I was hearing from is when you just
right. Said, that's crazy.
I mean, I don't know what the hell you want me to tell you about that. I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know, man. I have no idea.
It's an absolute. To me, it's just such an embarrassment. Like I look at us on the international stage, and say this is the sport that everyone plays. You're never going to get the best athletes to ever play the sport if you're on Paramount Plus.
Right.
It's to me, it's totally embarrassing. Now let's talk about something positive. Derek Jeter, your man. Went in yesterday, classy as he always was.
El Capitan, yes.
El Capitan. I saw Red Sox fans out there in the world. I got to say this. This existed yesterday, Steven. There were people out there tweeting yesterday that Nomar Garciaparra was a better player than Derek Jeter.
Garciaparra could ball. He wasn't no Derek Jeter. And what we have to take into consideration is not just who you were as a player, but the environment that you had to perform in and under and what you did in moments of duress. And so for me, when I think about Derek Jeter, I think about class personified. I think about the clutch play. And I think about him playing on the biggest stage in baseball, which is that of being a New York Yankee, and how he never disappointed. And that's what this is about.
Five rings, Steve.
That doesn't hurt. Five rings. Five.
And Stephen A., you're a man who's enjoyed your social life before. Has anyone ever had a better social life in history than Derek Jeter?
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yo, if he ain't in the Baseball Hall of Fame,
he's in that Hall of Fame.
He's in the Knock 'Em Down Hall of Fame.
He's in that Hall of Fame. And Mrs. Jeter is a testament to that because she is special. I don't know if y'all ever met her in person. That's one beautiful woman. You know,
well, after I just said her husband's in the Knock 'Em Down Hall of Fame, I don't know if I want to meet her.
I didn't say that. All right.
Yo, Stephen A., man, love you for always stopping by.
Thank you for the straight shooting, bro.
No doubt, man.
Get well, man. And I'm telling you, man, getting great night's sleep and not waking up with a migraine. I know I was joking earlier, but man, that is such a major step. I had no idea you was going through that all these years, man. There's a lot of people out here don't sleep well. And they need to, you know, go see somebody about it. But that sleep is everything.
Imagine what you've been doing. Ebro, think about what Stephen A. has accomplished with bad sleep his entire adult life.
And a headache.
You might become president after this. We don't know.
I ain't going to run for president. I can guarantee you that. But
you might be easier on the Cowboys, though.
Harder.
It's not about the Cowboys. It's about them damn fans. I can't stand them damn Cowboys fans. I ain't taking it easy on them. But I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to do big things and whatever I'm choosing to do. I'm hyped.
Appreciate you, man.
Love you, brother.
I love y'all, man. Take it easy.
reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, Hold On, Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Lola Brooke, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Mr. C, Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, Laura, Rosenberg, and it is going down this weekend, guys. I'm very excited. I will be in the building, of course, at Madison Square Garden. Super SmackDown. WWE is back at the Garden for the first time in a couple of years. And one person who you'll be lucky to see, God willing, will be able to see this man walk into the building is the man who joins us right now. We're talking about Paul Heyman.
Hey, Paul. I don't understand it. Why you call Madison Square Garden a building? It's not the world's most famous building. It's the world's most famous arena. Look at this. I'm knocking my camera all over the damn joint here. It's the world's most famous arena. It's not the world's most famous building. We're going to a building. True. We're going to a shack. We're going to go hang out at this at these four walls in New York City. It's the world's most famous arena. It's Madison Square Garden. It's the Sistine Chapel of sports and sports entertainment. But Rosenberg is going to call it a building.
He has a point, Rosenberg.
Listen, Laura, if you want to know someone who gives me a harder time, maybe the only person who gives me a harder time than Ebro, it's the man we're talking to right now, Paul E. Now, Paul, this building, this arena, the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, is also, it has a lot of personal history for you. Not only is it the original home of WWE in so many ways, but it's the original home of Paul Heyman. It's where you, Laura, this is where as a kid, Paul Heyman started bringing his camera and just showing up every week to the matches and eventually got his break in wrestling. Isn't that correct, Paul?
True. What an interesting question and interesting answer.
Now, but seriously, you and I have talked like loosely about this, but how old were you the first time you grabbed a camera and just said, I'm going to show up here and just make my dreams happen?
14.
Wow.
14. I covered the Madison Square Garden show, the show before the Bruno Sammartino Larry Zbyszko Shea Stadium match in August 1980, and covered Shea Stadium. And then I had full access backstage and ringside the next show. I had just turned 15.
Imagine being 15 years old and weaseling your way and convincing people.
Well, what's this with the weaseling?
Well, Laura, it's like you know, Paul.
I mean, hustling.
It's amazing, though, Paul. Smarting, I think it's amazing.
You know, demonstrating street smart, savvy. You know, I mean, hey, how about let's go another route. Seducing my way back to it. Oh, but no, weaseling. We got the worm. Oh, this little cockroach found an opening and pulled his way into Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Now the piece, Laura. You can
sure pick them.
Yeah. Now, Laura, the piece you'd be really interested in, though, and I think the part that Paul, honestly, he, at least in his memories, cares about even more, were the days at Studio 54. And Laura, Laura's a bit of a connoisseur of classic old school New York.
No, I'm not. I'm not a connoisseur. I'm just a fan, and I think it's so amazing. And to meet someone who actually got to experience it, and you actually got to document this, this is amazing.
Well, I mean, again, it's another place that I seduced and outsmarted and used my street smarts and my savvy and my Yiddish kepala, Mr. Rosenberg.
That's yes, and, you too.
And I found my way into Studio 54, and I was at first a photographer, and then I was a photographer and a publicist, and then I was a photographer and a publicist and a producer. And then a photographer, publicist, producer, promoter for Friday nights.
Wow. That's okay. Awesome. On the nights that you promoted on Friday, who was the biggest celeb that you remember coming through?
Prince.
Wow.
Yeah.
Prince at mid-80s Prince, Studio 54.
So amazing.
Yeah. Prince did an impromptu concert. Something had happened with Purple Rain. It had reached some milestone, and he threw a party at Studio 54. So Prince did an impromptu concert at Studio 54. I produced Chuck Berry. I produced Liza Minnelli. Back, you think of any great, chart toppers, and with the exception of Madonna. Who we tried to get. She ended up doing a Sunday night at Studio, which was a John Blair party. John Blair used to throw the biggest parties in New York, and especially at Studio 54 on Thursday and Sunday nights. And she did a John Blair party on a Sunday night. But the exception of that, if you're on top of the charts in 1985, 1986, you played at Studio 54, and if you played on a Friday night, I not only promoted you, I ended up producing you as well.
Did you get to meet Michael Jackson?
Not to my recollection. And I don't recall ever coming across any photos of mine that had Michael Jackson in them. So I probably didn't. And if I did, I wouldn't be happy with that memory.
You wouldn't tell people that you met Michael Jackson? You'd cast that aside?
Oh, especially at such a young age? No.
I understand what you're saying. Let's not go all the way down that road right now. Now, Paul, Friday night, the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. What do you have planned? There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of hubbub in the world of professional wrestling this week. A lot of excitement. And you, maybe the most decorated and talented voice in this business, well, I assume have a live microphone at Madison Square Garden on Friday night in front of the Tri-State. What do you have planned for the WWE fans on Friday night?
We're going to address this Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar situation. I'm going to address
that's uncomfortable.
It. Roman Reigns is going to address it. And okay. From what I understand, Brock Lesnar is going to address it. Now, whether we address it with words or physicality, That's up to Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the head of the table, the end-all be-all, the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion, and the beast, Brock Lesnar. No matter what, it'll be quite interesting this Friday.
And you promised me, though, you're willing to say right here on Hot 97 that you are 100% aligned with the tribal chief and have nothing to do with whatever sort of decisions Brock Lesnar would make.
I serve as special counsel to the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. I serve as advocate for the beast, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. Brock Lesnar decided to show up at SummerSlam and not tell anybody in advance. That's Brock Lesnar. That had nothing to do with me. Well, it had a lot to do with me, but I was not part of the decision-making process.
Paul, I wish you the best on Friday, because I could see that being a tense situation. I will be sitting right there watching every single minute, and I hope it goes smashingly for you.
Smashing like I get smashed?
No. I would never take any joy
that's what he said,
from
right?
watching no, Brock Lesnar.
But that's what he meant by that, right?
No.
Am I right?
No, I would never want to see you get F5
smashed in the garden in your hometown in front of your own children who will be crying and weeping for the
No!
Oh my God.
I don't want to see you get F5 through a table at Madison Square Garden. No, I don't.
Sitting here, I call in. I have the worst allergies I've had in 15 years. Look at my eyes. Look like I've been hanging out with Rosenberg as soon as the edibles kick in. And that's not the case, I assure you, at least this early in the day.
No, not now.
And I'm calling in and you're hoping I get smashed.
No.
Thanks, Paul Rosenberg.
Paul, I'd love you, and I never would wish for that. Shana Tova, we'll see you at Madison Square Garden on Friday night.
You have a lot to atone for next week.
So long, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Thanks, everybody.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red. French Montana. DeVito. Roller Brooke. Cash Cobain. Bass Swag. Doja Cat. Honey Baby. Fabio Fari. 41 Cal Rich. Jet Carter. Tata. Chef G is home, baby. Sleepy Hollow. Connie Diamond. 310 Baby. Celebrity Host. Ice Spice and A Boogie. Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C. Step Swimming.
Jadakiss. EPMD. Eric B. and Rakim. Method Man and Redman. Lord Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!